our series is called The Scarlet Thread, and we're following the bloodline of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. Today being a lesson on the Passover. The focus thought, deliverance from bondage, depends on the blood of redemption being applied to the doorpost of our hearts. And then the focus verse, of course, comes from Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And then our lesson text comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 3 through verse number 14. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Everybody say a lamb for a house. Everybody's got to have a lamb. Everybody's got to have a lamb. Verse 4, and if the lamb be too little of the household, here, this is interesting to me, if the household be too little for the lamb. Now the lamb is not too little for the house, but the house is too little for the lamb. Amen. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the month, of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Excuse me. And thou shalt take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and upon the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall cut the flesh in that night and roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the putrescence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it shall until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Amen. Passover. The Passover. Lord bless you. You may be seated. We used to sing an old song written by John Foote. Some of you will remember, it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Anybody remember that song? Man, part of it starts out like this: Christ our Redeemer, died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass. Over you. Amen. You know, a lot of those old songs are important because they teach truths. And the music has a way of helping us remember, doesn't it? I remember going through Wisconsin, and I was going to a town. I thought, how in the world will I ever remember the name of that place? It was an odd name. And I thought, I don't know if I'll ever remember the name or not. And so just suddenly, inspiration struck, and I started singing, Oconomowoc, then I still remember it. After all these years. I can't. I can hardly say "O Come, Emmanuel," but I can sing it. Because you just said it to music. Can you remember? Isn't that amazing? So there's a lot of truths that are taught with a lot of our, and that's what makes a song classic, is because it has some. It's tied to some great truth. And many songs that we sing are interesting, but they'll pass on. Others will remain. How many remember that chorus? What is it? Tied up, tangled up, wrapped up in Jesus, whatever that was. See, I don't even remember it now. And that was good for a time, but it's kind of going on its way now. But Amazing Grace is still around. When I see the blood, still around. Amen. They abide because they're tied to a central truth. And so I'm glad for some of the old songs that we sing, and we'll not want to forget those. We try to include some new stuff, but we don't ever want to get rid of the old stuff either. We got to put them all together, right? Amen. It's important that we remember these things. And so the first Passover was a way to deliver Israel. That was the whole central point, that God was ready to deliver Israel. Now, by this time, Israel had been in the land of Egypt for 430 years. Now, God told Abraham that was going to happen before it ever did. Why would God permit that? We have to understand that God does not look at time and history like we do. You can never figure all this out. If you think God thinks like you think, then you're going to be puzzled a whole lot. You remember what he said about that? The Lord said, "For my ways are not your ways." And he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways." So God doesn't think like us. He can see the end from the beginning. Before Israel ever went into, many, many years before Israel ever went into the bondage in Egypt. As a matter of fact, it wasn't bondage when they went in, was it? They went in willingly. They went in, and it was actually a salvation for them. God placed Israel in Egypt. Now, that's hard for some of us to understand. Well, God, why would you place somebody in a situation where you know that in time, they're going to be slaves? Why would he do that? Well, he's got a purpose. Amen. Aren't you glad that we're not in Israel, in Egypt today? Amen. God has a purpose. I'm going to tell you something here this morning. The fact that you're sitting here in a building that's got central heat, it's a good thing. You've got brothers and sisters that worshiped early this morning, and they didn't have this kind of surrounding. Amen. And when they got out of bed in their house, it was cold. Amen. We're so blessed. We need to remember that. God, help us not to complain. God, help us to be ever grateful for all of your blessings and the benefits that we have. Amen. And help us to remember those that are less fortunate than we are. And it's good for us to remember these things, because it's so easy to forget, isn't it? It's so easy for us to forget. It really is. Amen. So the Lord prophesied that Israel would be in Egypt for 400 years. And after 430 years had passed, then it was time for them to come out. I always think of that story. You know, Moses tried to deliver Israel early, and they weren't ready to go. And all it did was get him in trouble. You cannot deliver somebody until they're ready to be delivered. You can't help somebody until they're ready to be helped. You remember the little Boy Scout that was helping the little lady across the street? And he comes home, and his clothes are all torn, and he's scratched. And his mom said, "What happened?" He said, "I helped a little lady across the street. I did my good deed." And he was just smiling from ear to ear. And she said, well, honey, what happened? He said, well, she didn't want to go. So you got to be sure they want to go before you try to help them. And if they don't want to go, you can't help. You want to help. You have the desire. You know what's best. But until somebody's ready, you just can't deliver them. Israel was in that place. They were not ready. But when God heard their cry, the Bible said they came to a place where they began to cry out to the Lord. Can you believe it took 430 years? But they finally got to a place. They said, enough of this. And they began to cry out to the Lord. You know, I've seen people, we think, well, that's crazy. But I've seen people look at their lives, the things that they're involved in, the level that in our estimation, and you observe, you know, the level morally to which they have sunk, and the trouble and the despair and all that's going on and the heartache that's in their family. And you think, why in the world would you want to keep living like that? Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? Have you observed that? And you think, Lord, you know, why would they want to live that way? They don't have to live that way. You can have joy and peace in your life. You don't have to be subject and bound by those things, but you can walk in liberty and power and peace. Why would you want to live that way? But you know what? You can't deliver them until they're ready. No matter how much you may want to, you can't deliver them until they're ready to be delivered. So Israel had to get to a place where they were ready. And finally, they did. Amen. They cried out to the Lord. I'll skip that there. Then let me go back if I can. To be free from Egyptian bondage, Israel had to leave Egypt's gods, culture, and influence. Here's the thing. The hard thing that they faced was not to get Israel out of Egypt, but the hard thing was to get Egypt out of Israel. You've heard the saying, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. Well, that's true also of Egypt. God got Israel out of Egypt, but he never did get Egypt out of Israel, at least not that first generation. They died in the wilderness. They were delivered in their, physically they were delivered, but spiritually they were still, Egypt was still in them, wasn't it? Amen. It was. He never did get it out of them. That second generation had never been in Egypt. Now, they did have influence because of their parents. All they knew about Egypt was what mom and daddy said, or grandpa and grandma said. And they knew nothing about it. They'd never been there. They were freeborn. But that's all they remembered about it. But that first generation, it was impossible to get Egypt out of them. Now, of course, the parallel for you and I today is that we're in the world, but the Bible said we shouldn't be of the world. In other words, we can't let this world get a hold of us. That verse in the scripture that talks about that we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. J.B. Phillips had an interesting translation when he said this. He said, don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. And that's what it tries to do, doesn't it? It tries to make you fit in like everybody else. And it wants you to be like others. And so it tries to squeeze you. Anybody ever feel that pressure? Sure we do. We call it peer pressure. Amen. Trying to make you think like everybody else thinks. Try to make you dress like everybody else dresses. And to talk like everybody else talks and do what everybody else does. That's the pressure that we face as Christians today. And just as surely as Egypt got into Israel, the world can get into Christians if we're not careful. We've got to constantly be fighting against the world lest it get into us. Amen. Because we're here, we're in it, but we're not of it. We're not of it. Amen. Excuse me. And so Israel then was delivered by the hand of God in a mighty way. So they had a new beginning. Amen. Praise the Lord. People think they're doing right sometimes when they're doing wrong. This was the case of Pharaoh. Pharaoh thought he was doing the right thing when he killed all those Hebrew babies because he was afraid they were going to take over his kingdom. So in his mind, he was doing a good thing. From the Egyptian point of view, he was doing a good thing. People always justify their actions. He thought he was doing the right thing in his estimation. And so that was the way that he saw it. That was the way that he understood it. But at the same time that he had a plan to blot out Israel, God had a plan to save Israel. Now, you don't see the whole picture here. At the time that babies were being born in the Nile, there was one boy that was born to a lady by the name of Jochebed. And she said, I'm going to save my boy. Thank God for godly mothers. Amen. She said, I want to save my boy. Did you know you can help save your family? Mama, your prayers are powerful. More than you can ever believe. Don't you ever stop praying. Get with it. Amen. Your prayers are effective. Amen. And don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Just keep on praying. It works. Amen. I've told you before, a dear friend of mine had a son that has seemed so far from God. And I remember him telling me, he'd say, Johnny, he said, I pray for him, but he's so hard. He's so hard. He was so critical. He was so bitter. And he said, he's so hard. But he kept praying, and he kept praying, and he kept praying. And another time he called me and he told me, he said he got the Holy Ghost last weekend. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it wasn't long after that, he didn't know it, but he had cancer when he got the Holy Ghost. And he only lived a few months. But when he died in the Lord. Thank God for Papa's prayers that wouldn't stop. He kept on praying, even when it looked like it wasn't doing any good. Amen. With his mouth, he said it's hard, but his heart wouldn't give up, and his faith wouldn't give up. And he kept praying until God came through. Amen. So thank God. It's important that you pray for your children. It's important that you get your children to church. It's important your children grow up in church. Now, you hear me well today. It's important that your children get baptized in Jesus' name. You can repent at the last minute, but you can't get baptized at the last minute. When the Holy Ghost moves a child toward baptism, we need to listen to them. Amen. I know a sweet little old lady. She wept many, many tears because when her son was about 7 years old, he wanted to be baptized, and she didn't think he was ready yet. And so she didn't let him. She refused to let him be baptized. And then years later, she cried many tears because, oh, if I just would let him get baptized. He don't want to be baptized now. But he was a child. He wanted to be. Amen. So well, Brother Grissom, what if they're too young? Well, they'll have another opportunity. What if they don't understand all of it? Well, do you understand all of it? When we first got to Columbia, they kind of had this idea that, you know, you had to be almost perfect before you get baptized. You get the Holy Ghost, but they didn't want to baptize you, you know, till everything was straightened out. I don't believe that's biblical. Now, I know it says bring forth fruit for repentance, but that's called repentance. The person repents, isn't that repentance? Isn't that fruit? If God gives somebody the Holy Ghost, isn't that fruit? I'd say it is. Here's the thing, folks. You're not even fully born again until you're baptized. You got folks trying to operate on a half birth here. Amen. If they hadn't been baptized yet, washed away their sins, they got the Holy Ghost, but they're not fully converted yet. At least that's the way I understand it. That's the way we preach it and teach it, isn't it? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. So you see, baptism is essential. It's important that we let folks get baptized when the Holy Ghost tells them to get baptized. Amen. They won't understand everything, no. And I still study baptism and am amazed. But nonetheless, I was baptized when I was 12 years old. Did I understand everything at 12? By no means. All I knew was, all I needed to know, is that the Bible said it and I believed it. The Bible said it and I believed it. Amen. And so we need to make a new beginning. And so Jochebed built an ark, put her son in the ark, took it down to the river, put it in the river. God sent Pharaoh's daughter, amen, to that place. The baby cried at the right time. She lifted that baby up, fell in love with it, took it home, raised him in her own house, in the house of royalty. Moses was educated in Egyptian universities, and he was trained in Egyptian warfare. He knew all about what the Egyptians knew, but at the same time, he had a little old mama that kept reminding him, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God's one Lord." You're a Hebrew, Moses. Don't you forget that. You live in Egypt, but don't you forget you're a Hebrew, boy. Amen. And the Bible said when he came of age, he remembered that, didn't he? And the Bible said he chose to suffer with the children of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin in Egypt for a season. So he made a decision. He made a right decision. So that those teachings, you just keep teaching. You just keep living right. You just keep teaching right. You just put righteousness in their heart. But Brother Grissom, what if they're not living it? That's where prayer comes in. Amen. Some of you remember that even though you weren't living right, you knew you were not living right. Amen. I was one of the most miserable sinners that you ever saw in your life. I couldn't enjoy sin to save my neck. Amen. If I went to a movie, I'd sit there thinking, God, don't let this thing burn down with me in here. I'd smoke a cigarette, and I'd think, oh, I'm going to get cancer and die sure as a worm. I'm going to die lost. Everything I did, God was a killjoy. He just destroyed any peace I had about it. Everybody else having a good time, and I'm kind of miserable, looking for judgment to fall any minute. And I'm glad for that. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because I knew what was right. I knew what was right. And I knew what was right because I was taught that. And I prayed. I did. I would tell the Lord, Lord, whatever you do, don't ever take your spirit away from me. Don't let me get comfortable. I know I'm not serving you right now, but don't let me get comfortable in this world. Amen. That's all right to make me miserable. I don't mind being miserable. Don't you ever leave me alone. Amen. Isn't that a weird way for a sinner to pray? Amen. I was miserable. I knew I was miserable. But I wasn't ready to change yet. But when I got ready, thank God he was ready. And his mercy prevailed. Amen. So we had a new beginning. God made a way. And God always has a plan. You may not see it, but God has a plan. You may be able to see is bondage, but God has a plan. And he's working things out. Just be patient. Just be patient. What about all those that died in Egypt? Well, so what? Everybody's got to die somewhere. Amen. Now, I can see that we are very close to the rapture. I believe that. I also can see that, and I'm not prophesying here today, but I'm just observing that at the present time, our culture is Antichrist. Much of our leadership of our nation is Antichrist. Our educational institutions, by and large, are Antichrist. And so we are living in a time when the world is ripe for persecution of Christians. And that could happen again, folks. But you hear me, if it does happen, you're not any better than the apostles, are you? Are we better than James, who was beheaded, and John, who was boiled in oil, and Peter, who was crucified upside down? Are we better than they? Are we somebody special that Jesus himself was beaten and crucified and that we shouldn't have some scars along the way? Are we some favored generation that we shouldn't see any trouble somehow and we should go to heaven on beds of ease, never hadn't had any difficulties? Is that fair? Is that right? Is that true? I think not. So I'm just simply saying today what Peter said. He said, brethren, he said, when these things come upon you, he said, think it not strange. Don't think that God's picking on you if you have some trouble or even if you have persecution, you get imprisoned. Paul wrote from prison, didn't he? Several letters. So I'm just saying that if trouble does come, don't despair. Amen. We're just following the footsteps of the early church and Jesus himself. Am I looking forward to that? By no means, no. Amen. But if it does happen, I want my mind to be prepared for that. I want to understand. Well, you know, this has to happen before it's all fulfilled. And if it does, then. But here's what I want you to remember. Don't you ever forget this. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. When you get there, grace will be there, and it will be sufficient. It will get you through. I promise you, it'll get you through. And you will be amazed what grace will do. Don't you start thinking right now, I don't know if I can do it, Brother Grissom. Don't even think about it. You don't know. And you couldn't without grace. But when you get there and grace is there, you'll be able to do things that you never thought you could do. And you'll actually find joy in your heart. And you'll find a song that is unbelievable. You've already been there to some degree. Have you ever found yourself sick in your body, couldn't hardly lift your head up, and yet there was this peace and there was this joy? And you think, man, where in the world is that coming from? Have you ever had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and just lost a loved one, and yet somehow, there was a peace there, and there was a joy there, and there was a strength there that you can't describe, and you don't know how in the world or where it came from other than just the grace of God? Amen. And it'll be there if trouble comes. So don't despair and don't borrow. What's that old song says? Don't borrow from that sunshine. Amen. If you're having a good day, don't mess it up with worrying about something that hadn't happened yet. Now, that's good advice right there, Brother Grissom. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever had, today, here you are living today and you're trying to live tomorrow or 2 weeks and 10 days or a month or a year from now? What am I going to do about that? Don't matter. You're not there yet. Amen. Let's just live here right now. Amen. Well, what if this happens? Well, what if it don't? And you know what? It probably won't. About 90% of what you worry about never happens. And the 10% that does, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. Amen. So just go ahead and enjoy the sunshine. Enjoy today. Live today. We have no promise of tomorrow. Amen. So when God got ready for Egypt to leave, or Israel to leave Egypt, indeed, that's exactly what they did. Amen. God made a way for them, and when it was time, they began to get ready to go. Amen. We've got to, when God gets ready, we used to sing an old song. Remember, I says, you got to move. You got to move. Isn't that right? When the Lord gets ready, you gotta move, you gotta move, you gotta move. You may be high, and you may be low. You may be rich, and you may be poor.
But when the Lord, he gets ready, you gotta move, you gotta move, you gotta move. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? When God got ready, it's time to move. Amen. Now, I want to say today that when Israel left Egypt, Egypt was not a good place to be. Because everything worth having, Israel had it. By the time they left there, amen, what the hail had not destroyed, the locust had eaten. Amen. It was a land full of stinking frogs and biting lice and darkness and every kind of bad that you can perceive already been there. Why in the world would anybody want to live in Egypt? Amen. Now you hear me today. Here's exactly what happens. When they left Egypt, they were so glad to get out of there because they still had scars on their back and they still had perhaps some wounds that were healing up from being beaten by the harsh taskmasters and all of that was fresh in their mind. They were so glad to get out of Egypt. Praise the Lord. But after they'd been gone a little while and they ran into some hardship somewhere else, they got to thinking, man, if I could just get back to Egypt. And sometimes we think, why in the world would they think like that? But I've known Christians to think like that. Why it's so hard living for God? Do you remember how hard it was living before you had God? Do you remember what sin was like? Do you remember what a hard taskmaster that it was? Do you remember the harsh atmosphere? Do you remember the heartache and the sorrow and the trouble and the difficulties that it took you through? Do you remember what it cost you? Oh, no. Hey, all I remember is just it wasn't this hard. Oh, yes, it was. The Bible said, and I believe the Bible's true, it said the way of the transgressor is hard. You think, and you ought to know this, you think life's tough with God, you ought to try it without Him. You did for a while, you know. Yeah, you're going to have troubles. Yes, you're going to have difficulties. You had difficulties before you came to God. You're going to have difficulties after you come to God. But the difference is, God is on your side. Amen. And He's going to help you through. And His grace is sufficient. Amen. So when it's time to leave, let's not get tied up too much in this old world. Saying, hey, I'm ready to get out of here. Amen. Anybody ready to go home? They said Abraham Lincoln was in a service one time, and the minister asked how many wanted to go to heaven. Everybody raised their hand but him. And they said, Mr. Lincoln, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yes. But I thought you was getting up a load right now. Amen. He just wanted to go, but just not right now. Amen. Still had some things he wanted to do. Amen. Well, I got things I want to do, but I think heaven's better than this. So when the Lord gets ready, we got to go. Now, the Lord told Israel, and He gave them specific instructions. I would like this. Remember, He told him about the lamb. He said, what kind of lamb you got to have? It's got to be a male the first year. No sickness, no disease. It's got to be a good lamb. And then He said, I want you to get it in the 10th month. I want you to shut him up for 4 days in your house. I want you to feed him and water him and let the kids play with him and get attached to him. Amen. Then said, on the 4th day, I want you to kill him. Woo! Amen. We live in a society in North America, and not so much here, but especially in rural area or in urban areas, where people don't know what it was like to live on a farm. Anybody here live on a farm? Did you ever live on a farm? Amen. You know about butchering, don't you? That's not brutal. That's life. It's always been life. Amen. I remember grabbing an old chicken by the neck and by his head and whip him around a few times. If you've ever heard that expression, you know, jumping like a chicken with his head cut off. Well, I know what that means. Amen. And plop him down in a boiling hot water and to get the feathers off of him. Oh, that stunk. Oof. Amen. But I sure did enjoy him after he got fried. Somebody asked a fellow one time, says, "What's your favorite animal?" He said, "Fried chicken." It's his favorite animal. Amen. I remember what that was like. And you know, that was life. Circle of life. You know, you raised beef and you slaughtered beef. Isn't that right, Brother Wesley? That's a hard job, isn't it? Amen. 1,500 pounds of cow he tried to butcher the other day, and it got long. Amen. But it's a process. But you see, the vast majority of people in North America don't see that. Now, you're going to find this hard to believe. It's really funny, but it's hard to believe. I listened several years ago to a talks program. They were talking about farmers and farm prices and how that, you know, it's difficult. Like we're talking now about $8 milk and farm prices. This really happened, Houston, Texas. This lady came on the radio and she said, "I don't care about the farmers. I get my food at the grocery store." She said that for the whole world to hear. "I don't care about farmers. I get my food at the grocery store." And there's people like that. They've never seen, you know, when they see chicken or beef, it's on a styrofoam tray, and it's got plastic on top of it. That's all they know about it. They don't know where that came from. They don't know the process it took to get it there. They don't know about the cycle of life, the birth and the death and the whole process. They don't know about that. They're so far removed from that. And these people that, well, we can't eat beef, can't eat chicken, and don't eat meat, be like me. Amen. That's fine. If you don't like meat, don't eat it. More for me. Amen. You don't like it? That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. Amen. But you're killing those poor old dead plants. They're eating those poor living plants. I mean, they had to give their life up for you. Huh? Well, that's different. Why is it different? They're living creatures just like animals are. So if you don't like eating anything live, just go ahead and starve to death. Because something's got to die for you to live. Is that right? That's right. Something's going to die for you to live. It's a process of life. Amen. It's going to happen. Now, how in the world we got there, I don't know. But let's get back to this. Amen. We got to be ready to go. Amen. In order for Israel to go, he said, "I want you to have your loins girded." Everybody say, "Loins girded." He said, "I want you to have your shoes on. I want you to have a staff in your hand. I want you to get ready to get out of here." Amen. You be ready to go. Now, the Bible said that he is coming for those that are looking for his appearing. Amen. And so we still got to be ready to go. We can't leave that till the last minute. Amen. We've got to be ready. It's today. We've still got to be ready. Now, we're not getting out of Egypt. We're getting out of the world. We're not going to Canaan. We're going to heaven. But nonetheless, we got to be ready to go. We can't be like Lot. You know, Lot was delivered reluctantly. The Bible said that the angels finally just got a hold of him and his family and drug them out of the city. I don't want to go like that. I want to go with joy. Amen. Hallelujah. This old world can never hold me. Amen. Any day I'll be gone. Because I made my consecration and I got my wedding garment on. Amen. Ready to get out of here. Ready to go. Got someplace better than this. How many believe that today? Amen. The price of redemption, it costs something. I said it costs something. You know what the word redeem means? It means to buy back. To buy back. Redemption.
It costs something.
Salvation. So often people say salvation is free. Well, for you. But it costs him something. And I'm not real sure that salvation's free anyway. Let me tell you what salvation is going to cost you. Everything. That's what it's going to cost you. Same thing it cost him. Now, you can't buy it with your blood. And there's nothing that you have that you can trade for it. But at the same time, if you're going to be saved, it's going to cost you everything you've got. Everything's got to be under the blood. Everything's got to be in subjection to Jesus Christ. Is that fair enough? Is that an accurate description? Amen. Praise, it's going to cost me my will. My will has to become His will. My ways have to become His ways. My works have to become His works. My words have to become His words. Everything about me has got to become like Him. If I'm really going to make it, it's got to be that way. Yes, it does. Selecting the Lamb. Amen. Why would anybody offer God less than the best? Why would anybody offer God less than the best? But you know they did that. In time, Israel got to the place, in the time of Christ, they were offering some pretty sorry sacrifices. They were. Can we do that? Yeah, we can do that, can't we? We got to be careful, folks. You can come to church nursing some old bad attitude, huh? And all around you people are singing and worshiping and praising God, and you're nursing some old grudge there. Woo, it's getting close to home, isn't it? Hey, amen. Everybody got their hands raised. Some got tears running down their cheeks. You're sitting there like a knot on a pickle. Your favorite song is "I Shall Not Be Moved." Heaven and earth is trying, and you're sitting there refusing to budge. Amen. I'm right. I know I'm right. They said, and I should have said, and I'm going to say. You know what that is? That's ungodly worship. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, probably if you're going to get rid of it, most likely it's going to happen in church. So don't stay home just because you're having a bad day. Come on anyway. Amen. Because chances are you get in the right atmosphere and the Holy Ghost gets to moving. Amen. That's when you're going to be able to lay that thing down and say, I'm not going to let that rob me anymore. I'm not going to let that run my life. I don't want to live like that. Amen. Just lay it down. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we have to select a right sacrifice. And there's a theological term for this. It's called substitution. The lamb substituted for the firstborn. God said, every household that doesn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, the firstborn in that house is going to die. Every house. Not only human beings, but also all of the sheep and the cattle and the chickens. Everything that was firstborn died. Everything. And so if you wanted to protect your firstborn, you had to apply the blood to the doorpost. That was the requirement. That's simple, isn't it? That's not asking a lot. It really doesn't cost you much. Just a little obedience, a little bit of effort. But that was God's plan. He said, you do that, or I promise you the firstborn in your household is going to die. Now, there are people who will argue today that repentance and especially baptism, they say that's works. Oh, no, that's not works. That's obedience. That's no more works than putting blood on a doorpost. That's obedience. It's doing what the Lord told you to do. Amen. You just do it because He said to do it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to do it. And so that was required. But that lamb whose blood was on the doorpost was a substitute for the firstborn. Just as Jesus Christ is an acceptable substitute for you and I. I should have had to die for my sin, but he died for my sin because I can't. I can't die for my sin. I die in my sin. I have to take my sin to the judgment with me, except through Jesus Christ. He said, the Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin for us. The Bible says it pleased God to bruise him. God took out his wrath against sin, against the body of Jesus Christ. He placed all of his judgment and all of his wrath and all of his fury upon that sacrifice so that you and I could be spared. He was our substitute. I heard a man say one time, well, I didn't ask Jesus to die for me. No, you didn't. He did it anyway. Now, it's up to you. If you want to accept that as your substitute, if you don't want to accept the substitute of Jesus Christ for your sins, you can take your sins to the judgment if you wish. You can stand before the judgment throne of God in the white throne judgment with your sin if you so choose. And many will. But thank God, I don't have to. Paul said, some of us, we send our sins on ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what repentance and baptism is for, so that I can send my sins ahead of me, so that they've already been judged. And they've been purged by the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a judgment. Amen. The Bible, there was a judgment that came upon Israel or upon Egypt because of the sacrifice that God had provided. Amen. Thank God for the blood, right? Amen. I know that it's not a pleasant subject for some. They think that's just too gory. Oh, but you know, let me tell you something. Sin's gory. Blood's ugly. Sin's uglier. Amen. Well, sin's fun. Well, it's fun for somebody, but it's costing somebody else. Oh man, that just going out on a Friday night and you know, getting good and drunk, yeah, that's fun for you, but what about the wife and kids? You're taking food off of the table. Amen. Then you go home in some foul mood, abusing and cursing and fighting. Oh, it's fun for you, but it's not fun for those around you. Amen. And get so hung up and strung up and addicted and strung out until you lose everything you got. Oh, isn't that fun? Till the government and other people have to take care of your kids and your family because you can't take care of them because you're too sorry. You're too strung out on having fun. Started out fun, but it's not fun anymore. When you got to have it and you can't stand it until you get a hold of it and it possesses your life and it means more to you than anything and you'll do anything to get your hands on it. That's what sin does to you. Well, it starts out innocent. Just a good time. Everybody having a good time. Amen. But it'll possess you. It'll take you over until it rules your life. Yes, it will. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Now, I got to tell you, there's still a judgment, folks. I know folks don't like to talk about it. Amen. But there's still a judgment coming. Amen.
John Foote wrote this in a song when he said, judgment is coming, all will be there, each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving, sin-cleansing blood, and I will pass. I will pass over you. Got to get the blood. Got to get covered with the blood. How do you do that? Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins. Receive the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen. Follow in the newness of life. Walk in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Walk in His righteousness. Walk in His holiness. Amen. There is a judgment that's coming. Amen. We can be protected by the blood. And that's our decision. I love this verse from 1 John chapter 1. He said, but if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The word cleanseth is in a progressive tense. It means it is continuous. It's a continuous action. As long as you're walking with Jesus Christ, it's continually cleansing you. Amen. Anybody have to take more than one bath? It's something you got to do real often, isn't it? In our culture, most people take one every day. It's advised to, you know, take baths quite often. Amen. If you don't, and if you're losing friends, you might want to check your schedule. You know, it's important that we do that. And spiritually, walking in Jesus Christ, you know, if nothing else, and this is something Brother Wayne McLean brought to attention. He said he went to church and he felt so unclean and so vile, and he checked his activities, and he said, I hadn't done anything, don't remember saying anything bad, don't remember doing anything bad. And so he thought, why do I feel so unclean if I've done nothing wrong? And then it was as if the Lord spoke to him and said, it's because of the spirits that you battle. You're around ugly spirits all day long. Isn't that right? You are. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. You can't go to Walmart without being baptized in ugly spirits. Amen. Amen. Especially in the summertime. It's horrible. Amen. It is. The state of dress and undress that you have to put up with. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, but there's ugly spirits just everywhere, everywhere. Amen. You drive down this road and there's an advertisement up there of a scantily clad person. Amen. It used to just be women. Now there's men too. So it's just everywhere, everywhere. Everywhere you go, our lives are full of it. Amen. But thank God for the blood. It cleanses us all day long. Cleanses us. All day it cleanses us. Thank God for the cleansing blood of the Lamb. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And somebody said, Brother Grissom, I repented, but I don't feel forgiven. Well, that doesn't matter whether you feel like it or not. Do you know when you're going to feel like it? When you believe it. That's right. Amen. Feelings follow faith. When you believe you've been forgiven because you confess it and the Word said it'd forgive you, and you stand on this promise, then you're going to feel forgiven. And then you begin to thank God and praise God and worship God for His goodness to you. And then the death of the firstborn came. That was the penalty. And what a penalty it was. What a travesty. Amen. But it happened. I don't know what it was like that morning when somebody went to the bedroom of the firstborn and found death. Wailing went up from the house. The next door, same thing happened. All the way up to the castle in the palace of Pharaoh. There lie the heir to the kingdom, and death had claimed him. In the stalls, the best and the firstborn had died. The cattle, the horses, the camels, the sheep. The land was filled with the stench of death. Yeah, that was a judgment of God. It happened, folks. It happened. I know folks that say, oh, I don't believe in hell, but I'm going to tell you, it's real. If you believe in heaven, you got to believe in hell. You do. If you believe in God, you've got to believe in a judgment. Somebody said, I don't believe that God will punish anybody. Amen. Well, let me just tell you this. It's just this simple, really. All God's doing is allowing you to live with the consequences of your decision. That's all He's doing. If you don't want God, you don't have to have God. Say, I don't want God in my life. Well, you don't have to have God in your life. But you know what God is? He's light. So if you don't want light, you can have darkness. You know what God is? He's joy. If you don't want joy in your life, just shut God out. You won't have any joy. You know what God is? God is peace. You shut God out, you won't have any peace. This is the thing. You see, people want God's blessings and God's benefits without God. But one of these days, He's going to say, enough. You've enjoyed enough of my light. So He's going to put you in a place that separates forever from His blessings and His benefits. And those that want to enjoy His benefits, He's going to take home with Him. Those that want to do without His benefits and without God, He's going to allow them to dwell in a place where He's not. I don't like God. I don't want God. I hate God. Fine! One of these days He's going to let you do without Him. One of these days He's going to say, that's enough. You don't have to have my mercy. You don't have to have my love. But if you don't have my love and my mercy and my spirit, I'm going to shut you off from my benefits. And that's what hell is. All hell is simply separation from God. That's all it is. Just separation from God. I don't want to ever go there. Unquenchable fire, horrible memory and remorse, extreme mental torment, misery and pain, separation and darkness. I've heard people say, well, I'd rather... they will talk about partying in hell. There ain't going to be no parties in hell. Where are you going to get drink? There's no drink in hell. There's no drugs in hell. There's no light in hell. There's no peace in hell. There's no food in hell. All the things that people identify with a party, where you're going to get it? It all comes from God. And God's not there. That's all it's going to be. It's a simple separation. The godly are going with God. The ungodly are going without God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I think I want to go with God today. I've become real attached, not only to His benefits, but I've become attached to Him. I kind of feel like David. David told the Lord, he said, whatever you do, he said, don't ever take your spirit from me. Anything else, but don't ever take your spirit from me. Amen. I'd rather do without God's benefits than to do without the Spirit of God. Just don't ever take your spirit away. That's the only thing that keeps me going. Is the Spirit of God. Let's stand together today. Aren't you glad for a substitute, somebody that gave you a way out? Amen. We can go to heaven. We can have a good life. We can live for God. We do have options today. It's all because of Him. Amen. Let's thank Him right now, shall we? Jesus Christ, thank You today for all of Your benefits and all of Your blessings and all of Your goodness. I know that we need You. You're everything to us. Amen. You're our mercy. You're our hope. You're our help. You're our ever-present friend and help in the time of our need. Thank you for being there. I help me to appreciate you as I ought. Help me to understand you. And the more I know you and the better I understand you, certainly the more I will love you. And I thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's sing unto the Lord. The two are better. Oh, I'm saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. Name is in the book of life. Sins are washed away. Oh, saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Gates seem open wide. Gonna sing redemption story. Bounty brought me to the other side. Say, reach that city. Gates swing open wide. Oh, I'm saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. Is in the book of life, my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Number 306 in your hymnal said there was an old account that was settled long ago. Let's sing it unto the Lord, shall we? Praise the Lord. 306. Oh, there was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below, but I went unto the keeper and I settled it long ago, long ago, oh, long ago. The old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, the old account was large and growing every day. For I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and I saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle, and I settled it long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And and the record's clear today. Father washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. For when at the judgment bar I stand before my King, and he the book will open, he cannot find a thing. Then will my heart be glad, while tears of joy will flow, because I had him settled, and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today. Father washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Oh, when in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with its pages white as snow, because I had it settled, and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today. For he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Oh, sinners, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he has commanded, if you would enter in. 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it, that you settled long ago, oh, long ago, yes, long ago. The old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today. For I washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago, oh, long ago, yes, long ago. Oh, the old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today. For I washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. 248. Said he brought me out. Amen. Didn't just bring me out. He's going to take me in to something better. Hallelujah. 248. My heart was distressed, neath Jehovah's red frown, and low in the pit where my sins rest. I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to the golden day. Oh, he, amen. Let me see if I can wrap my head around this here. Jehovah's red frown, and low in the pit where my sins drag me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to the golden day. And he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today. It's a song of praise. Hallelujah. And he placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, and stand by his grace until the crown I gain. For he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today. A song of praise, hallelujah. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise the Redeemer who has rescued me. Yes, he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul.